Hello, welcome to Come With Some Sauce. I have no idea what episode numbers is. It doesn't really matter what episode numbers it is. What matters is that, like, on March 29th, myself and Rob saw a really great CML YouTube Friday night Omaye Dos Leyendas. We got on Twitter Spaces after it ended and talked for about 50 minutes. It's Twitter Spaces, so there's a bumpiness near the beginning, and the sound quality isn't perfect, but I am going to put this intro right in front of the beginning of it so you can just sell in and you don't have to deal with Twitter if you want to. So thanks for listening. We'll be back at some point.
So that was a really good show. Maybe understatement. That was incredible. Usually I find like reasons why, okay, it was good, but this. But there's no little like, but it's going to be, it was like, it lived up to expectations, and the expectations really high, and it went beyond it by setting up the match for next Friday. I did not see that coming. And it looks like you got kicked out again, so I'm talking to myself, which is not the first time that's happened. I'm going to approve and see if he comes back in. You're muted. So it was like just seeing the match was pretty good. They worked the match in a way that I thought they were going to come back to Blue Panther and Danielson for the finish. But then when it was not the finish, it was kind of disappointing. And I think that would be the one thing you could say against the match is that it ended really quickly and it ended with Seidel getting the submission. But like you're doing that and you're coming back and doing Blue Panther, Bryan Danielson next week. I think everyone was pretty happy with that sort of events. No one really saw that happening.
Oh yeah, they telegraphed the finish with the captains, but it all made sense in the end once you waited to see the story, which I don't think anybody was expecting was going to happen next. I was just blown away.
Yeah, I was, you thought like maybe they'd set up to come back someday and they would come back and there would be a like hype for weeks kind of thing. Just like, but Danielson doing the classic Arena Mexico, okay, we have this issue, we're going to settle it next week thing was not what anyone thought was going to happen.
No, I thought he was channeling the full Arena Mexico experience where he was going to say, you want the match next week? Well, I'm not giving it to you and walk off or something. Or they were going to set it up for, I'm not doing this in Mexico. I want to do this in the United States. So to get it next week is just an all-timer move. And I guess the people who paid $35 are getting their money's worth.
Yeah, I mean, you and I were discussing earlier today that like this would have been a better deal if they did like $15, $20 signal pay-per-view. But like, if you took the dive to go in the show, not only did you see a really good show that's going to be among the best shows this year, you get the rest of the month for free, which means you get next week's show with Danielson Panther. You've already paid for it. You just come back a week from now. It'll probably be a little bit shorter than the show. That show will be a little shorter than this one, but about the same time, and you'll get to see a dream match that you didn't even know you were paying for.
Yeah, and again, it shows you the business in Mexico that sometimes people don't really understand. Like I saw people saying, why doesn't Tony Khan just run Forbidden Door in Mexico? Well, the finances just don't make sense to do something like that. But on the other hand, you have the finances in terms of CML owns their own building and can do whatever the fuck they want. What other company in the world, in any country, could just go throw a match like that out on 1 week's notice where tickets have already been on sale at normal price?
Yeah. Yeah, no one could do that because no one would have the venue ready or no one would have the show ready. It just like, it's very much CML taking advantage of its format and that, my phone turned off for a second there. I got scared away, lost everybody. And that, and just like going far beyond what anyone would expect. And AEW, what they would expect to send Danielson back the second straight week.
Yeah. I found it funny them setting up that match because we're 1 week away from WrestleMania weekend. Yeah. And I mean, there was at one point I wanted to do that match at WrestleCon somehow. Once I knew that Panther had a visa, I know there were two other American companies that were interested in putting on that match. But I think that no matter what, the right place to do it would have always been Arena Mexico. And now that CMLL has a good relationship and is open to doing stuff like this, this is the right place. The match has to happen there. It's going to happen there. I wouldn't be surprised if that show is sold out by tomorrow.
Yeah, the tickets are going to move extremely fast once. Like the people there, like if you went to that show and you can go to next Friday's show, you're going to want to go to next Friday's show. but I think they'll do really well. It's like, I don't want to do too much talk about another Mexican promotion and compare them both and forth, but like that CML is getting to do the big match that the CML fans want to do in their arena, and they're getting to do it first, sticks out compared to what we've seen with other situations too. So this is just a great job all around.
I mean, it's impossible not to make the comparisons, because the comparisons just come naturally, since AEW was so-called working with AAA before and now is officially working with CMLL. Mm-hmm. And the last time we did a podcast together was probably after some sort of AAA pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for all the negatives, we always say, because all AAA Triple Manias, whatever event, they always have the same mistakes. I would say that CMLL totally outclassed them and improved on everything tonight.
Yeah, like the best Triple Manias, you would say, they had a really great main event, or they had a really good match. They had two other matches that were exciting, if not completely complete. And then there's like an hour that you really just need to skip and run away from. And there was no hour here. There was like I don't know what the down point of the show was. Maybe the minis match at the end of that, because people just did not get into that at all, and the rules were really weird. But that was like, it wasn't bad wrestling, it was just a bad setup. All the other matches were as good as you could hope, or even better. It was just like one watchable or one really great match after another.
Yeah, my biggest fear coming into tonight was the timing issue. I thought, man, this is the time where like CMLL is so set in their ways. They always start at 8:30. And I'm just thinking, please, can't you just one time start at 8 p.m., mm-hmm. give yourself that extra half hour? But I thought generally it went really well. A lot of the matches were early on were short, but they weren't speed rushing through the show like we've seen sometimes CMLL do. They were rushing.
No, they were.
They were rushing.
They were
things.
They were like, they were 10-minute matches. We've seen shows where they had to cut them down to like 5 or 6 minutes, or even short, or like that length. Everything, like, it was shorter by CMLL standards, but if you were an AEW fan coming in, I'm not even sure you would have like noticed that they were shorter matches.
Yeah, like nothing was, as far as I could tell, was super pressed for time. It's funny you say that, because I've been telling you, I've been watching some older CMLL stuff just to refresh my memory. And the other day I watched an Arena Mexico show that had a Universal tournament where they still had to do a trios main event, and it went 2 falls, 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. So that would have been a disaster if that happened tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, you know, that main event, I think, what did I have it, 12 minutes? I don't even remember. I go look at my notes. But like, I could have gone like twice as long. That was just so good.
That only went 12 minutes? No way.
I think that's what I had. Maybe I had 18 minutes. I have to go look at my, it's like, it's all a blur at this point. But like, whatever it was, it could have gone a half hour easily.
Oh yeah, that's what I wanted though. Like, I was so worried about time because I knew these guys were going to want to just live in the moment and feed off the crowd reactions, because you knew it was going to be crazy. And they got to do that. There felt like there was no rush to that match. We even got multiple comeback spots.
Yeah. Yeah, the great Ultimo Guerrero comeback spot. We had the Panther comeback spot. It was just, I don't know. Like, what I wrote when I was doing the preview is like, you don't know how the foreigners are going to take it seriously, or how they're going to take it. Or are they going just like, let's do everyone's big spots and we'll do an all-star match and everyone will go home happy because they've seen something? Or are you going to come out and wrestle like this is a serious promotion versus promotion thing? And they definitely, like, you could tell that from the interview they did, the panel discussion they did earlier today, that they, like, the BCC and Sydal guys were taking this very seriously. They were very much playing the character, and they very much played the character throughout the match, went fully heel, did not even like pretend to play up for the crowd at all, besides like the yes chance. That's like, it was the evil yes chance, I guess. And it made the comeback of all the, what the CML guys do, feel even bigger.
Yeah, you got to see everybody interact with everybody. The crowd clearly saw Danielson versus Panther as a big deal. That was a little worry of mine too, because as much as that's a dream match for us, I think a lot of the crowd, they wanted to see Moxley. They wanted to see Claudio do their stuff with Guerrero and with Volador and Místico especially. But I think everybody in that match got their moment. I thought Matt Sydal stepped up, but he felt like as much of a big deal as anybody else from the BCC.
I guess I said it was 16 minutes. That sounds a bit much, but it was like the fastest 16 minutes that I remember.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought in terms of like match quality, for me, that was the match of the night. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah, easily. I mean, there were other matches that could have been the best match on the major show, but like, I really liked Averno Cavernario. I really liked Zandakin as Sphinx more than I thought. I liked the women's match more than I thought. It was like, but the main event, just the heat and the work alone, that's going to be like, if you put together a top 10 list this year, if you get around to it, I bet that'll be on your top 10 list.
Oh, for sure. And the crazy thing is, like, if you're a CMLL fan, and if this relationship stays the way it is, you could do this once a month, rotating in different people to Arena Mexico.
Yeah. I'm sure CMLL, just like their eyes must be dollar signs after that main event.
What did you think about, before we go into the other stuff from the show, the production aspect of the show?
I think once they full down on playing with all their new toys, it was pretty good. Obviously the music playing in the Will entrance was really funny. That you probably prefer not to play someone's entrance music for six people straight, but it was hilarious. The drone cam was a cool idea, but sometimes it worked, but like the visual difference between that camera and the other cameras kind of stood out. But otherwise I thought it was fine. I mean, they were missing shots. I guess that's the other thing. But it was better than I'm used to for other promotions, big shows, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I generally agree with everything you said. You can see the difference as the show went on. They began to improve once they figured out what their certain toys are actually good for. Because a lot of people who watch CML regularly, the shots are pretty much patterned. You know which camera they're going to go to from one to the other and for certain spots. And I think tonight with the new toys at the beginning, they were trying to figure out, you know, how can we shoot this from a different way? And then they just settled into their groove. They started using the overhead camera less, which was great. And they captured everything. Like, we missed the Briante Jr. dive earlier. We had what was the other one that they missed? They missed a double dive at one point. And like you said, if they can get the settings right on the drone cam, which I hope the drone cam sticks around and replaces the overhead cam, because it looked so much better.
Yeah, you got much more a three-dimensional view than the overhead cam just flattens everything out because of the angle. So I know people have had those drone cams. Those cameras just probably aren't as good as the other, as like a normal TV camera. And so voice can be off a little bit unless they get much more expensive. But it was an interesting idea, and an idea I would not have expected CML to have. I mean, you and I both thought it was a crane camera for a while until Dr. Landry posted that photo. And it's like, that's not like a technology thing that I would expect to be in that promotion.
Well, they have back in the day during the Místico boom era. If you go back, they had I don't want to call it a drone cam, but they basically had the same idea. And it was a camera that was attached from like a string that would go around. That was the technology back then, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they only used it for the major shows. So right away, when you saw that camera tonight, you were like, wow, this is something, you know, CML really put some money into a show like this, because that drone camera probably cost a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure. And getting the connector to work even as it did. So,
yeah.
So if that another was your favorite.
The other thing about the production I just want to say is that I think the audio could be improved a bit, because especially for the entrances, you could barely hear the music that was being played. And I think that takes away a lot from the atmosphere.
Yeah, I think it they don't always completely capture the atmosphere as it feels live. Although by that main event, you did get that impression. But once it got in the ring, you just walking to the ring because they're trying to get the music involved or something, it never clicks like it should.
Yeah, like the Blue Panther reaction when he came out, even though it was muffled on our end, I could tell, holy shit, that was a great, and I've already seen the live video. That place went bonkers. That place was shaking for his entrance. And I really wish you could get that with the live stream. It's something that they can hopefully work on. And I wonder if the Willow music gaffe had something to do with the rest of the entrances all being muted.
It could be that they just, that something was not hooked up to the right place. But
they didn't want to take the risk, probably.
Yeah, that makes sense. So if you thought the main event was the best match, what would you have as the second best match?
Oh, it's tough because like you, I mean, I liked the Smijas and Doken until one spot didn't work out. I loved Averno and Cavernario, but I thought the semi-main was great in terms of doing a match where, you know, like people expect the match to be with hot moves, near falls and all that. But I thought the character work, chemistry between the teams, I thought it was fantastic. That'd probably be my second best match of the night.
You know, I think a lot about how, like, if Masker Dorada did not exist, that Neon would be the hot flyer that we'd be talking about with this promotion. And in the same way that if, like, the AEW CMLL feud did not exist, the Los Principes would be the hot team we'd be talking about today about this group. Because especially Rocky and Silverano, they've got the gimmick now. And they are such great heels. Their behavior post-match in Silverano stealing Dorada's trophy and then them both raking it and beating up the technicos was just so good. They're going to obviously set up some more matches down the road. And I cannot wait to see all that play out over the next few months.
And I think a lot of new viewers to CMLL would be like, to them, that was just a standard wrestling thing, but that is not a common thing in CMLL. They're usually very, we're going to hand the trophy, we're going to get our photo op. No, you didn't win it. We're not giving you this trophy. So when they stole the trophies tonight, posed with them, and then broke them, like, this is rare. This is a sign of changing times in CMLL.
That's like, the last person to do it like that was the Aguayo Jr. breaking the Santo clock, right? I remember
that was
Rush
like 20 years ago.
Yeah, and Rush broke a glass over somebody's head, but that was not a trophy. But that the Paraguayo angle is like forever remembered. And I don't know if this will be remembered as strongly as that, but it's a big deal when it happens.
And it very much establishes, because honestly, coming off the Japan tour, I wasn't sure if this was actually a real team or not, the Principes, but after they got a name and after they got their first team win together the other week, that CMLL is going with this team. This is going to be the headlining trio.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I'm sure they had plans for them to do in New Japan too, and hopefully they get the visas worked out and they can run that too. But in Mexico, they're going to, like, anytime Rocky's going to be here, they're going to be doing stuff with that team.
And it's good. It's great for Rocky. It gives him something to do as part of a trio in a company where, I mean, if you're not in a trio in CMLL, you're probably not really doing much because the whole company revolves around them. And so he doesn't have to be in a singles feud this year. He kind of ran his course. He did the Volador Dorada thing. And now they can do trios matches. Imagine them against like Zandokin and the Villanos. That's going to be incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I expect that they're like, I'm trying to remember, it's the national titles that are next week, if I'm right. And so none of those guys will be involved. So I would expect that they're just going to run that back with Templario and another Technico with Atlantis and Dorada next week. And that'll be a hot match too. What did you think of Atlantis Jr. getting so booed tonight?
Well, that's what's going to happen when you draw a crowd. Like, this was very much a, like, this is not the crowd that you saw last week at Arena Mexico. This was a very hardcore, less touristy crowd. There were tourists there, but this was a hardcore crowd, and you saw exactly how they felt about Atlantis Jr. And the worst thing that could happen for him is if this crowd got back invested in CMLL and was coming weekly.
Yeah. There may be problems for him next week. I think what that does say is, though, like, that and a lot of our reactions were that this was not the normal tourist crowd, that they were pulling people who have not been around much lately, who do not usually come to these shows, because they had old favorites. They reacted to people in different ways than the normal weekly Friday shows fans react. And like, that's a good sign. When you're pulling people who haven't been going to your shows a lot, that means you're pulling in a lot more people. So like, it wasn't good for Atlantis, but I thought that was good for the promotion that was happening.
Well, for sure. I mean, right away, what I noticed, of course, the multiple matches had the Esto es Lucha chant, which is a hardcore fan in Mexico chant. Yeah. And also, there was in the second match, they were chanting, I can't even remember what it was, but they were chanting it, Ed Zandoka. And mm-hmm. it's like on a normal Friday night show, you're not getting any chants in Matt. You're getting boos and cheers because the tourists just know, okay, that's the guy to cheer. That's the guy to boo. But here, when you're getting wrestler-specific chants, you know you have a different audience.
I kind of want to see them put the Volanos on next week's show if they get that same crowd, because those guys might get really over with those hardcore fans.
Well, for sure. And the Panther-Danielson match next week, I mean, that's going to draw these exact same people.
Yeah.
So I am very curious to see if those people stick around even after next week.
Yeah, that's the dream. You actually retain people.
But CMLL, I mean, listen, they had a super successful Tuesday show with the tourists. Now tonight with the hardcore fans, this really could be an actual new boom.
It's possible. I mean, it's at least we're like continuing the upswing. They're continuing the upswing they had from last year. The moment, like, I was a little bit worried the last month at the moment. Momentum of the shows have not been good since they got wrapped from Fantastic Mania, but clearly things have picked up, like with the show and with the Tuesday show. With the published show Monday, looked like it drew well too. So some of that's probably holiday week stuff, but they like things are looking up for them.
For sure. And then if you were to ask me what I thought the third best match of the night was, I mean, we're just going in order here. I thought the women fucking killed it. Great match.
And that's coming from you. Not the favorite. You don't usually, like, you're not overly praising that division, but I thought, this is what we saw with the tag match on the anniversary show. Like, they had a lot of stuff they wanted to do, and they were doing a good job of hitting most of it. And it made for an exciting match. And, like, whoever's putting these together, or however it's working out, they're doing a really good job of putting, like, whoever the new person is in, and making them seem like a big star. Like, there was so much stuff for Willow in that match that made her come off a big deal to that crowd.
Yeah, she got over huge. I don't praise the women's division because this division normally doesn't deserve praise. And I'm not a person who's going to rank women on a curve just because, you know. So if it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. And usually it's not very good. Tonight was great. I love the action. Everybody was working hard. All the spots, I mean, Yuvia had one slip, but it wasn't even like a major slip or anything. Although it was funny that the crowd got on her because, again, this is a hardcore fan. The same hardcore fan that reacted negatively to Ultimo Guerrero being in the main event instead of Hechicero, they were salivating the moment Yuvia fell off the top rope, which I found that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that bringing up Hechicero reminds me that, like, he did commentary on the show, but it's weird. I think we didn't see Leo Brugger-Magadan on that show, which, like, for a big show, feels odd. And, like, I think Mickey Lee that was not on that show, but they were, like, trying to put as many announcers as possible. So I'm confused at what happened there. It was nice that Hechicero got on the show somehow.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't going to get on the show in any other capacity, so it's good enough. And, yeah, I thought that women's match was great, and they got a nice little ovation afterwards. It was the only thing that surprised me is I thought we were going to get something coming out of that, whether it be like a Thunder Rosa challenge, or I was actually expecting some sort of video from an AEW personality on this show, but maybe they're saving that for next week to build to the future after Panther Danielson.
Maybe. They didn't need the cram. Once you, like, if you know you have that, then you really don't have to go back and do other stuff. But they did have Will beat Stephanie Vicker, so, like, I think people assume that might set up a New Japan Strong match. And they, like, they already had Azumi AZM challenge Stephanie for, like, the Philly show, but maybe they'll end up adding Will. No, I think Will is in a different match. Now I'm remembering, right? Yeah, because I just put the poster today. So, but maybe Will. Oh, I'm getting confused about shows. And people are yelling at their phones and I can't hear them. The Azumi challenge recur for the New Japan show, but they haven't officially made any match for that show. So maybe that'll be a three-way Will be in this.
Could be. But Willow's sticking around for the weekend. So, I mean, I saw you tell somebody on Twitter asked, like, are we going to see those matches? I wouldn't be shocked if CMLL puts those matches up because they've done it with the foreigners in the past.
They could, but like, I don't want to promise people things that may or may not happen with CMLL. The masters of taping shows that never actually go up.
We'll leave the promising stuff we're never going to get to the actual CMLL people.
No. Yes. Yeah. They won't make promises. They just won't say anything at all.
Yes.
I think I agree with you that the women's match was the third best show, match. I think would have, I'm trying to remember the order of things now. Would Cavanero Averno probably be hiding it? Just because it was like, Averno worked really smart, as Averno does. Like every single heel trick he could pull, including the hair. Cavanero did crazy Cavanero things and it was way over. But Averno, like, because it was a hardcore crowd, plenty of people seemed into him too. They made the most out of their near submissions. And Averno winning was like...
This space was downloaded via spacesdown.com. Visit to download your spaces today.
The actual only title change on the show, so that was kind of a big deal.
Actually, yeah, the Averno and Cavernario match is basically what we were talking about, the different crowds. That match is the proof positive, because any other week, Cavernario is the most over babyface in the building. This week, the crowd was just super. The hardcores love Averno. They were so happy when he won. And that completes his CMLL title collection, basically.
Yeah. He has a very long page on Lucha Wiki that I need to update. The match was great. They did the handshake at the end, which kind of surprised me, because like, that's such an obvious hair match that they could come back and do in the summer, but they kind of left it off without challenges. Maybe they're just holding it off and they'll circle back at some point.
Are you ready for the latest why is he doing the flying splash, his knees discourse?
Yeah. I think he's done, when was the last time he actually did that splash? It's been a while.
I think maybe, was it the champion show against Espinka?
Oh yeah, he did do it on there. So it hasn't been that while. But
that was like six, seven months ago.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I thought it was longer than that, but yeah, I believe he did it on there. He did not do it on the best of show that I recall.
He did not. But when Dave tells the story, it's going to be he's doing it weekly.
Yes. He's doing it weekly and he's broken down shell of himself. But he had a pretty good match. He's because he's motivated, and so that's been more of an issue than his knees so far.
Yep. We skipped over the minis match.
Yeah, because it was not the fourth best match or whatever number we're up to.
All right. But I want to talk about the minis match though, because like I feel bad for Pequeño Olimpico as a lifer in CMLL. He definitely deserved his moment, and I feel like he didn't get it tonight.
Yeah, when I was previewing this match, I'm like, there's no way they're going to do Pequeño Olimpico Pereira Fido here. They deserve a really big match, and they just wouldn't throw him off here. And what they did is they did give him a huge payday, I'm sure, for losing a mask on this show. But it was also like a underwhelming finish to a match that people just did not understand and was not clicking with them at the end.
Yeah, he didn't even get an entrance. I mean, his entrance was while Angelito and Acero were like fighting in the ring. I at first I was sure that one of the old guys was losing and getting the payday, but then they put no effort into building this match. We didn't even know the rules going into the match. I didn't even know the rules as the match was taking place. After the pinfalls happened, I thought for sure that the people who were pinned were having the mask match. So I thought, oh, okay, we're getting Piero Tito beating Acero for his mask. And then all of a sudden they're like, and you're right, these are with the normal CML rules that they're doing these days. It was like, no, it's Angelito versus Pequeño Olimpico. And I was like, oh, okay, so Pequeño Olimpico is just going to lose. And 2 minutes, literally 2 minutes later, he lost. I don't think that match hit 3 minutes.
No, it was, I believe it was like 2:01 I had my clock for the last situation. So yeah, if you go back to the 90th anniversary show, or the tournament they had, it was a winner's advance, because the idea is it's an honor to have a mask versus mask match. And that's kind of what they did here, but they did not explain it well, and it did not work as well as a concept. They would have just been better just doing like a straight up tag match or something where it was clear the winners are going to go on, but it was just a weird situation where Fear of Theo gets a pin and then gets pinned, and no one can understand what that means.
Was that the first ever, I don't want to, I guess, four corners, but for a four-way scramble match in a CMLL ring?
I mean, I guess the four-way, the seeding battle royals kind of work that way. I feel like I can't think of another situation, though, because, like, they've done three ways, but they usually do not do four ways like that.
They've done three ways where you have to pick a ball and then someone leaves and they do the singles. Yeah. And they've also done, remember when they had the, where they needed a whole fucking video explanation for the Liger farewell?
Yes.
That was a four-way.
Yeah, that was a four-way. That was a four-way because Mystico spent like 5 minutes arguing with JCR about, oh yeah, you just invented a normal four-way. And JCR is like, no, this is a special rules. It was a great comedy. Yeah, whatever they did with this format, they just can't do it again.
It was a, I mean, listen, they got the winner they wanted. I always presumed that Angelito was going to win a mask tonight. Mm-hmm. I just thought it would be a Cerros. And I mean, I think Pequeño Olimpico is going to stick around. I'm not sure. He's like an older guy and he trains people. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Mm-hmm. But I'm happy at least he got the payday, but I just wish it would have been on better terms. I also felt bad for him when Olimpico was unmasking him and then he kind of fell off the rope. It didn't look very smooth.
No. I mean, he's 58, so I could see him wrestling a little while longer, but I can also see him saying that, like, I'm going to retire in a year, which maybe he leaves the promotion and shows up in Chaos. But besides that, I think it's probably close to the end, but you'll probably get, like, at least some time left.
The most important thing I want to mention from this match, though, is you have to pay attention to how CMLL does things if you're going to know what's coming in the future. So what was the last big minis mask match? Who won?
It was the cage match at...
Before that.
Okay, you tell me because I'm blanking on what it was.
It was Pequeño Olimpico beating Ultimo Dragoncito when we thought the result was going to be the other way around.
Yeah, that's right.
So whoever wins the first Apuesta match always ends up losing immediately afterwards when they put their mask on the line in a direct Apuesta match, not a cage. So just something to keep in mind when you're thinking about the anniversary for this year, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then... What was the other? Well, we haven't got into Esfinge and Zandokin. What do you think about that one?
I liked it because it was a good sign of how hot that crowd was going to be, because they weren't 4 minutes and then everyone started going nuts for every near fall for way too early than you would expect for like the match actually on. There were a couple like messy spots near the end, but it was a good sign for how over Zandokin is getting with that crowd. And it was, and like they hit the big spots, but like, the second Nudo Ejipio did not look good at all.
No, and it was preceded by that fucking, what they were going for was like the head scissors pile driver counter spot, but it's such a, the person taking it has to do the work of jumping onto their head and it has to be timed right. And it looked so ugly. And I just felt bad because I thought everything in the match had worked out until that point. I thought they were being super rushed because like he did a tiger driver on the apron like 3 minutes into the match, which is like a death move. Well, it was the death move until he took the monkey flip a couple minutes later.
Yeah. Yeah. There were some big bumps in that match. You know what? The other thing that stuck out from that match that I remember thinking about now is that like to set up that bump that did not work near the end, like Zanakin teased a tombstone, but like for the most part, they stayed away from pile drivers on the show after they've been really overdoing them. That was a nice change of pace because I thought that they were like saving them because it was going to figure in the main event finish, and they just like did not do them at all. And that was fine with me.
I don't think there was a single pile driver on this show because Volador didn't get to do his destroyer. There was no other point where they did a destroyer, and there was no like I don't even think Zeuxis got to do La Roca.
No, and Silverano, I was waiting for Silverano to do his pile driver, and that did not figure into that finish either.
Yeah, so we got a pile. That's a very rare moment for Mexico, any show to not have a pile driver these days. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I thought I was really surprised that Esfinge retained. I thought if any title was changing hands tonight, I thought they were strapping up Zandokin. So, I mean, Esfinge, who's going to beat this guy?
Apparently, like, unless Cavernario decides to move down and beat him up again, I don't know who else is going to do that.
CMLL really, they're all the way behind Espinka, so I wouldn't be surprised if he got a mask win at some point. Like, very clearly, they've earmarked him, especially, like, they're one of his, he's one of their guys, just like he was one of the guys chosen to already go to AEW.
Yeah, which, like, his work is getting better. He just does not stand out as much as he's being pushed to me, but it's also, like, he's not a problem at this point.
I think he's the best guy in his trio.
Well, yeah. I need to see more Star Black, but he's much, I would put him much ahead of Fugaz at this point.
And then the opener, what do you think of the tag match?
I thought it was a good match if I had not seen, like, a bunch of other Depredadores versus Neon matches that stood out more. I thought, like, they had moments that didn't go well. They had really big spots, but that was one where the production most hampered the match, too. Mm-hmm. And they felt they were most, like, they had about as much time as the match came after it, but they felt like they were much more of a hurry the whole way through. It kind of detracted from the match at points.
Yeah, and it also, I think it also, between the nerves and them rushing, it led to, like, Rugido had a bad spill. Neon had a rare screw-up on the Rana to the floor spot. But otherwise, I mean, he hit his big dive. That was the most important thing. He had to hit that dive. We did not need a disaster. And he came through. Yeah. I thought Magnus continued to show his improvement. I thought he was the best guy in the match, keeping it all together. And especially on the night where his father was being honored, that was good for him. And Briante Jr., I mean, he was fine. He's definitely really stepped up his game since the Andrade appearance.
Yeah, I thought he was better here than he's been in. He was on the Fantastic Mania Tour in that, like, he was, like, in step with his opponents a lot better.
Yep, and I agree with what you said. Like, we've seen better tag matches. There's nothing wrong with this match. This was a perfectly good match. I'm sure somebody on Twitter is screaming, it was a banger, 5 stars, blah, blah, blah. But no, it was a perfectly fine, let's say, 3.5-star match. Nothing wrong with it, but we've seen better is all we're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Tuesday match I had last Tuesday. If you want to see, like, there were more flaws in that match, but, like, it peaked a lot higher than this match. But they got a lot more time to work with than they were going to get in this opener.
I can't imagine anybody is listening to us who hasn't seen that match. But if for some reason you're one of the new subscribers and you paid your $35, go to your membership tab, watch the Tuesday show from 2 weeks ago, and you'll see an awesome, awesome match with the Depredadores and these guys.
That's what I kind of need to do is, like I'm starting to catch up on my, like, match ratings for this year. I'm just trying to get back on the horse. And we probably help people if, like, we put together a list of, here's all the, if you subscribe and you're trying to get something out of your $35, here's all the good stuff you should go back and see in the first few months of the year. So maybe I'll get on that tomorrow.
Yep, and I'll be going to Collision, where hopefully Tony is putting Ultimo Guerrero on the plane, and I'm getting John Moxley versus Ultimo Guerrero, because I love their exchanges tonight.
Yeah, the chops. Moxley just getting battered by Ultimo Guerrero's chops at this, like, fading was, like, so many times you see the chop exchange where we're just even all the way and then both guys fall over or whatever. And, like, they're in Arena Mexico. Moxley's going to go down to Ultimo Guerrero's chops, and he sure went down.
I like the top row powerbomb spot because Moxley didn't even go for the Rana. Ultimo Guerrero just, like, picked him up for the powerbomb, and it looked like it was a nasty landing for Moxley.
Yeah. He sold it big, too, but that's when he found out how hard and how, like, unbump bouncy that Arena Mexico ring is.
Yes. Overall, I would give this show, honestly, it's just like I'm just taking 0.5 away from a couple of the production snafus. So I'd go 9.5 out of 10. I think CMLL, this is as close to a home run as you can hit.
Yeah, it's... I think to circle back to one of our first points, like, we've seen so many times where, like, a lucha promotion, for whatever reason, gets a big spotlight on their show, and it doesn't quite deliver. Something goes wrong technically, or some of the matches don't deliver quite as what they want to. This show, like, they hit it. There's stuff that they could clean up if they had a second take, but they, like, I'll I would assume that like 95% of the people who spent $35 today to sign up for the show went home thinking, or turned off the stream and thought, yeah, this is completely worth it. I'm glad I spent this money. And that's what you want to give people. I think people are going to be looking for the show one way or another tomorrow too. I think the buzz on this is going to be really strong, and there's going to be incredible interest next Friday to see that match in a week with lots of things with incredible interest, including some stuff that you're involved in.
Yeah. I mean, listen, for as happy as I am about the match being set up and the excitement and everything, I'm also kind of pissed because I don't even think I'm going to be able to watch next week while I'm in Philly doing stuff. So unless I want to just hole myself up in a hotel room and turn it on, I'm probably going to have to watch on demand. So if you could be kind, Mr. Lucha Blog, and not post any spoilers on Twitter, that would be great.
Yeah, that's definitely something I will do. I'll just stop posting about CML on Friday nights and just go quiet. I'm sure I'll be happy. Do you want to plug your show since we're here and we got a captive audience?
I mean, I can't imagine, like I said, again, there's anybody listening to this who doesn't know, but we're doing our show on Thursday night, WrestleCon, Mark Hitchcock Memorial Show. We're going to have six CMLL guys. We are going to have the CMLL team of Místico, Star Jr., Cavernario, Viano 3 Jr., and Averno, all against a Dragon Gate team. Plus, we have Titan. And Titan's match will be announced on Monday. It will be our last official match announcement, but there will be unannounced matches on the show. So look forward to the WrestleCon social media on Monday for that final match announcement involving Titan.
You know, I heard someone point out that Titan and Matt Riddle are two people announced who do not have a match yet. Are those two people facing each other on that show?
I can confirm you, I did not book Titan to face Matt Riddle.
Okay, so it's Titan versus someone to be announced, or Titan and someone versus some people announced, who knows? So you'll have to wait for Monday to find out, but you do not know the match yet.
TB.
You know the match, but like the listeners do not know the match.
I know the match. The listeners do not know the match, but they will on Monday, and I think everybody will be very happy with it. And what's other lucha participation? We got Jalisco taking Volador Jr.'s place against Gringo Loco, and we got the Desperados in action that weekend. Is that it for Lucha on Mania weekend that we know of?
Galeno del Mal is on the Defy show.
That's right. Yep.
But yeah, the Desperados versus the Dragon Gate guys. Like, I am interested in seeing all the Dragon Gate guys versus like people. Like, this is the same situation that CMLL is in, is that like the Dragon Gate guys, a lot of people who follow Dragon Gate are very into them, but it's tough for them to get attention outside their bubble. So they're the most intriguing people to me on the show to see how they do and what attention they get wrestling on other shows.
Will you be enjoying WrestleMania weekend going to the local Chicago show that has like Bandito, Commander, Latigo?
I don't know what show this is, so I probably will not be going to it.
Well, I've been sending you the graphics. I thought you do, but the All-Star, whatever it's called, All-Star something at Berwyn.
Oh, the All-Star, the Berwyn one. I don't know. We'll see. I saw the Relax poster. I didn't see this, that they were running on WrestleMania weekend. No. I'm actually not going to WrestleMania for like the first time where people have gone to WrestleMania since like before the second New Orleans, because that was the one I went to. But it's been a while. It's a different feeling weekend, I think.
Now, the big question for you, because you seem to be the one that seems to be doing most of the booking, even though it all gets credited to this Tony Khan guy, will there be any Lucha participation on the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, in your opinion?
In my opinion, in reality, it's like, you know, I'm not suggesting a match on Twitter because I don't know who's allowed to be booked on Ring of Honor at this point. But in my guess, I would guess that they put something out. I like, especially like Tony Khan watched the show tonight and it appeared from his tweets that he was watching the show. He found $35 out of his pocket to watch a show, and good for him. You have to want to put some Lucha guys on your Ring of Honor show. It depends on who's available and who can work with who, but I would absolutely expect, like, having a Lucha match has been a standout on these past Ring of Honor shows too. So I expect them to stick with that.
I have to get my cheap shot in at the end now. Hopefully nobody's still listening so I can do it without people ratting me out or anything. But now that you mentioned people watching the show, our friend Roosh spent all day and most of the week hinting that he wanted to be on this CMLL show. All of a sudden, he's being nice to CMLL. All of a sudden, you can very clearly see he is jealous of the attention all this is getting, and he wants to be a part of it, but he can't be a part of it for his past crimes against CMLL. His transgressions, exactly. The poor guy, I mean, he didn't appear on the show. I mean, I guess there's a possibility he could show up next week and attack Brian Danielson, but I'm betting against it. What is Roosh's game here, Cubs?
He wants to be, like, in the news at all times. He does not want to be forgotten. He doesn't want to be forgotten by fans, but he definitely does not want to be forgotten, like, by AEW. And if he can get the fans to make sure that AEW remembers him and finds a spot for him, which they have not found for him lately, then that's better for him. I think if working a date with CMLL would get him on Dynamite on a regular basis, he would be more than happy to do that. But I don't think the interest is mutual. That was the hilarious thing. It was like, I don't want to be rude, but it came off as a little bit desperate that him retweeting the CMLL advertisement for the pay-per-view this week earlier today. And it's funny, like, he wouldn't have done that when he was actually working for the promotion, but he's doing it now, which is just amazing.
Did you see the video he posted too with the quote?
No, I did not see the video.
He posted a video, I think it was Drillistico and Vance, when they did that, because they did this like a couple weeks ago or a month ago, driving by Arena Mexico, because, you know, they love to fuck with people. So everybody thought they were going to be there. And then that fucking clown, his assistant dude, last week was trying to pretend like he was led into Arena Mexico as a VIP in the front row and everything. So, you know, all Jalisco and Roosh very much are indicating how they feel without actually indicating it. They clearly feel left out right now. And there are probably reasons for this that, you know, will be explained in the future, but they are left out. Meanwhile, Dragon Lee has made WrestleMania this year, so Juan Munoz is doing really well.
Yeah, I'm sure BCL Ring, wherever he is also doing
well. He's going to work that amazing Lucha Elite show. Would you like to give a ticket update on that show?
No, I've not gone to Ticketmaster. It's probably going to be, was not moving that quickly last time I checked, even with like plenty of seats that seemed like they were like never put on sale. There were plenty of tickets that were put on sale that will remain on sale for quite a long time.
So are you telling me that they should take away their hold on Estadio Azteca?
You know, who knows? You know, they can keep that hold just as soon as they get LA Park and Rush to agree to the mass match, which will definitely sell it out.
Oh, for sure. Can't even sell 1,000 tickets in the front on, but they're going to pack 50,000 for a mask match that's never happening.
Yeah. It'll be those two and, I don't know, Vangelis main eventing in Estados Azteca. Because even in that situation, the of them are going to lose.
No. He's got an IWRG contract. He's exclusive.
Yeah. Is that IWRG? Now we're just like, this is part of the podcast where we're just like saying stupid stuff. Is the IWG contract with Vangelis, Diamante Azul, he'll, the Canis Lupus, and Hellboy lean to a match in the style of Azteca as well?
Could be. I mean, you never know what's going to happen in IWRG. They have maybe if they get a dollar from every rookie that they put on their show or have been in the tryout, they can afford to run Estadio Azteca.
Yeah. And if they can get their families also to show up, they can fill it up.
See, we're ending this on such a negative, but I mean, this really exemplifies in Mexico right now, the gap between how good CMLL is and how professional of a product they run and everybody else, and I'm including AAA in this, everybody else, it is so wide, it's almost like CMLL has a monopoly on legit pro wrestling in Mexico.
Yeah, we can't even get the small promotions that make sense or stuff to come together.
It's also
the big promotions.
Didn't you tell me about a podcast you were listening to where like they were doing bets on tonight's show and then the loser has to actually watch one of those IWRG shows in full. That is hilarious to me.
Yeah. Shout out to Club de Lucha, who I think are recording their podcast right now. So I hope we haven't stole too many people from them. I would have trouble watching a full IWG show at this point. The problem was seeing through it live in the half-hour breaks between matches. But then you see some of the matches and you want the breaks.
I kind of feel like we're being.
Do we have anything else to say?
I mean, I don't really have much.
Do we have anything else? Do we have anything else to say that's not being negative about somebody or somebody?
No. I don't have much else to say because I haven't watched Vampiro Retirement that was going against the Arena Mexico show tonight.
I think that one didn't stream. It's a long story, but I'm sure it was a great match. I've not watched the other Vampiro match. I feel like only necessary to watch a Vampiro match if they're airing on TV. And even then, it's a question mark. But I think that's it.
Yep.
So thank you, everyone who's up at 1:43 a.m. Central Standard Time listening to two people ramble about a really, really, really great show. If for some reason you're listening to this and you did not buy that show, go buy that show or go steal that show or do whatever. You need to go watch the main event, but you should go watch all. It was well worth your time. Sign up now. Get the Panther Danielson match. You're going to want to watch anyways. Go back, watch it or something. It's a very good day for Lucha Libre.
I can't believe we are actually, after all the negativity we had for the price point, and rightfully so, now we are actually telling people you should be spending $35 on CMLL this month.
Yes, it turns out it's absolutely worth it.
For this month, at least.
For this month. Don't talk us back in May or whenever.
I still want my Volador Jr. rookie matches if you're listening, Alexis, and I know you are.
He's not. He's absolutely not. Those will go up as soon as they put up the Christmas Day or in the publisher.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I appreciate you having me on to give my input. I have an AEW show to attend, so at this time tomorrow, I'll probably still be watching ROH tapings.
You will not. You'll try to leave. I would still be there, but I know you better. So I will let you go because you need to rest up for that big. You need to rest up for the Matt Taven matches, and we will come back and do another podcast at some point. I'm going to hit end now.
This space was downloaded via spacesdown.com. Visit to download your spaces today.